So this morning before I left to come here, my husband, he came last night to hear me preach. So as I was getting ready, I asked him to do something for me. This afternoon, we are celebrating my dad's birthday. And so as I was preparing to leave, I said, could you do me a huge favor? Would you clean up the house and get it ready for us? And would you dust and vacuum? And he said, yeah, I'll do that. And I was like, oh, you're such a great servant. And he goes, yeah, and be sure to tell them about the slave part too. He's really a wise guy, I gotta tell you. When you accept this teaching, when you accept what I taught you before communion, it frees you to be like Jesus. It makes you servants. It changes your attitude towards yourself so you're not selfish. You don't need to be. It changes your attitude toward the world. You're not afraid of it. You're now able to serve it. And that's why Jesus says, if you let me serve you infallibly, you'll become the best servant. And if you let me love you infallibly, you'll become more loving than ever. You will go out into the world and become a servant. Why? Well, when you're bought out of captivity, you are no longer in bondage. But you know what? You are still held in a bond, so to speak. But it's bonds of love. So I have an illustration for you. I heard this and I thought it was great. So imagine that somebody saved your life through some tremendous crisis. And as a result, you were fine. You were unharmed. But the person that saved you was injured for life. But you're free. You're completely unharmed. You're healthy. But she's not. Let's say she will, I don't know, never walk again because she saved you. So you go to the hospital to see her. You're not in bondage, but you're in bonds because you go to her and you say, what do you say? This would be normal for all of us. You'd go and you'd say, thank you. How can I ever repay you? How can I ever repay you, right? That's a normal reaction because there's a pressure on our spirit. And that's why Paul says, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. So you go to the hospital to thank her and you say, you freed me. You saved me. How can I ever repay you? And she pauses for a moment and she says, well, take care of my mother. And you would gladly do it, right? Because you would respond something like, of course I will do it because what I owe you, I will pay your mother. That's the least I can do. And that's what Jesus says to his servants, to us, his slaves. Feed my sheep. It turns us into servants. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells us on the last days, he's going to gather a bunch of us on those last days, and he's going to say, I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was distressed, and you didn't comfort me. I was homeless, and you didn't take me in. And the Bible tells us in Matthew that on that day, we'll look at him, and some are going to look at him, and we're going to say, when? When did that happen? When did we see you homeless and distressed? And he will say, they were all around you. When you ignored them, you ignored me. And Keller says, Jesus is saying this. What he's saying is he's saying it from his hospital bed, so to speak. What you owe me, pay them. Pay them. That's all you have to do is pay them. And what's our response going to be if we really understand the price that was paid on our behalf? It's the least we can do. And we go out and we become servants. We no longer have to jockey for position. I don't have to worry about whether I've been invited to the greatest neighborhood party. I don't need to worry about if everyone likes me or if I'm being left out. I really don't even need thanks anymore. It's my job to go out and see what people need and give it to them. Begin with small acts of kindness. A servant is somebody who makes you feel valued and affirmed. You feel listened to. You feel helped because you are helped. You feel important. A servant doesn't need a lot of affirmation. A servant isn't someone who says, I work my fingers to the bone for this church or this home or this office. And a servant doesn't count the wrongs of those that have been ungrateful. A servant doesn't keep a record of how many knocks on the chin they've taken, because of course you're gonna get a few knocks, right? Jesus says, don't you understand? I come from the upside down world, the upside down kingdom. And in my kingdom, it's about sacrifice. If you're going to serve, of course you're gonna take it on the chin sometimes. I took the big sacrifice, so you only have to take the little sacrifices. But a servant knows that. A servant never feels self-pity when they see what they've gotten from Christ. So in conclusion, I'll say it this way. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked the disciples to do what? What did he ask them to do? Pray for him, right? He said, stand guard and pray for me while I go in here and wrestle to the ground with the Father over what I'm going to have to do for you. Can you do that? Can you just stand outside, watch guard, and pray for me while I go do this, right? And what happens when he comes back? They fall asleep, right? And what does he do? He serves them. He dies for them. In fact, he even said to them, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Meaning, I know you meant well. That's grace, friends. Isn't it great? That's the heart of a servant. Now listen, those ding-dong disciples, guess what? They represent you and me, right? They represent us. We're ding-dongs too. Jesus died for people who are stubborn. Are there stubborn people in your life? How are you treating them? Jesus died for people who were always wanting from him and never willing to give back. Are you surrounded by takers? You see, Jesus died for people who slept through his greatest hour of need. Are you upset with someone who slept through your greatest hour of need? We look around and we say, they should have known, right? They should have known. So what are you doing about it? Are you withdrawing from them? Are you playing that passive-aggressive role? Are you standing in a position of servanthood toward them? Just more like this, right? When we truly, truly understand what Jesus did for us, ransoming not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood, we will want to be people who follow him and serve him and others. We serve with him what? We are a people eager to do what is good. My friends, that is the best master ever. You want a master? Follow Jesus. You want to create a revolution? Serve with Jesus. Let's pray. You can stand, please. Lord, again, we thank you for hard messages. We thank you, Lord, that you push us and stretch us and mold us into your likeness. And so, Lord, I ask that as we go forth this week, that we are always, always the light of Christ that shines to others. The Lord, as we go out, we are looking for people to serve in every area of our lives. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you that you are the perfect example of servanthood. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.